weekend for the neutral, upsets galore in the Liberty A-League. Welcome back to the official Liberty A-League podcast here on the Keep Up Audio Network. Campbell Johnson as your host for today, joined by Riley Dobson and a Teresa Pelias, fresh off a Sydney Olympic win and an assist to boot. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Campbell.
We talked a little bit last week about how you might make your return potentially on the podcast, Teresa, but still in action at NPL level. How was it on the weekend?
Yeah, it was a great start. The team performed really well and it was nice to get back out there.
Talk about a team performing really well. We covered a game on the weekend in the commentary booth, Teresa. Wellington Phoenix with one of their most famous wins ever.
Towards the near post, bubbles up now. The opportunity, an opener for the Wellington Phoenix, and it's Kate Taylor with her first goal of the season.
Against Sydney FC, their first win against the Sky Blues, winning 9-0 cumulatively over their last few games, Sydney against Wellington. And what an upset that was, Teresa.
Yeah, we talk about underdogs, and Wellington definitely were the underdogs. And, you know, everyone would have expected a Sydney win, you know, regardless of who Sydney were missing. I think most people would still expect a Sydney win in that fixture. And to their credit, Wellington were the better team on the day. You know, we talk about upsets, but to me, the better team did win on the day. And, you know, I think an upset is more when you haven't dominated a game and you jag a win. But in this case, Wellington were just better in all areas. They had so much desire. I think at the start, they started off a little shaky, and Sydney were definitely looking like they would win the game. And then that drinks break, Cam, you mentioned, changed everything for Wellington. And once they got that goal, that they sort of got a lot of belief out of that and just ran over the top of Sydney.
Yeah, I agree with Teresa. So I've gone back and watched the game and was able to listen to you guys commentate. And
you poor thing, jeez.
How are your ears after that?
No, I love it. But the thing was, I 100% agree. Like, for me, watching them, it just looked like Wellington Phoenix just wanted it more. And that was evident. They seemed to present a more physical game based off the foul count. You know, Sydney, I think they gave Sydney like 10 fouls. I think they only had like 3. And it really resonated for me. Like, I watched Michaela Foster's like pre-match interview leading into the game. And she said they had this really positive performance against Brisbane the week before. And they, as a team, had really felt like they were going to take some points, if not all the points in that game, the fact that they'd led. So they were riding on that wave coming into the game. So it really works when you're coming up against a big team. And that's evident when they came up against Sydney. They just showed how much they needed and wanted these points.
And I mean, we spoke about it in commentary, Teresa, in terms of the injuries and, you know, suspensions that have forced changes. But one that really stood out for me, and it's changed for Wellington in terms of the wingers, Ava Pritchard and Millie Clegg sat out this goal. Well, they're on the bench. They came on. Millie Clegg looked brilliant off the bench, as she has done all season long. But putting Paige Satchell in against her former side, Mickey Robertson was incredible in this game, just so quick and tenacious. Against two fullbacks who are, I think it's fair to say, not the quickest. They're big physical fullbacks in Charlie Rule and Kirsty Fenton. Was that a smart decision from Nat Lawrence to put two smaller, quicker, more agile attackers against two bigger fullbacks?
Look, not that she had an option to, but I just feel like the desire that Wellington had, they all won their individual battles. You know, even their left and right back were incredible on the day. They did their homework. They obviously know Sydney well. They've done their video. You know, they've analysed Sydney. They've gone on the training pitch and tactically worked on what they needed to, and they absolutely executed their game plan to a T. And, you know, at the start they were a little shaky. They kind of were giving Sydney a lot of room around the Sydney's in Sydney's front third. They were sort of dropping off and a bit, you know, undecided on challenging that ball. But, you know, after that period, they really stuck to that game plan and just showed so much commitment in that game. And it didn't matter about their size. They just wanted it more on the day. And I know Sydney were missing key players, yes. I think the players that came in were experienced and did a job, but just that attitude was missing, the required attitude on the day. And, you know, you can blame people who are missing all day and, you know, this and that, but really I don't think you know, poor passes and poor decision making and poor sort of effort, like results from missing a few players. It was just the wrong attitude. And you could tell Ante's, you know, was really disappointed, and the girls will be very disappointed with that.
And also I think the other thing that really showed is Edwards had a great goal, great game in goals for Wellington Phoenix. It was great to see, you know, she's an Aussie goalkeeper. She's really stood up. The fact that Paige Satchell was given the opportunity to really stick it to her old team as well. She's someone who I have a lot of high hopes for. I really love her as a player. She's very raw. She reminds me of a young girl that I used to play with, Grace McIntyre, who's since retired from the game due to ACLs. But you look at the life of like Betsy Hassett, she provides that leadership, that experience, and that level head, particularly on the wing. And that's been showing. They're growing as a team. And I feel like next season, with the changes potentially coming into play to allow for more New Zealand players from the national team to play for them, we're really going to see Wellington Phoenix coming in leaps and bounds. And as T said, you know, you look at the lineup Sydney FC had. They really should have done better based off, and it just shows that talent, if talent doesn't work hard, you're not going to win something. That's so right. For me, yeah, it's not unusual to see a team of Sydney's caliber to really struggle against a lower level team. And that's what Wellington are at the moment, but they're building it. I love where they are. But it's not unusual to drop your level of performance. We all do it. Yeah. And it's quite common.
And maybe it's a wake-up call Sydney need leading into finals. You know, they need more leaders to step up in a game. I didn't see many people really rallying everyone and going in with intensity and stuff like that. Like Betsy Hassett, she was brilliant. She was everywhere. That's the Betsy Hassett we know, and hopefully she'll continue to play like that for Wellington.
Hopefully it's a turning point for the Knicks. I know everyone loves them as a club, as a side. I mean, it was top versus bottom. 27 points was the margin between the two sides. Riley, you said something really interesting there about how Sydney are perhaps, and all teams potentially do it, of playing down to the level of their opponent. Tao said it a few weeks ago on Dub Zone. Do we think that Sydney are doing that in particular over the last few weeks?
I mean, I personally think they have dropped their standard, and it's... Yes, they do exceptionally well against those top teams most of the time, and they take points, but they do really struggle against the bottom level at this point in time. And whether it's just that complacency, and I'm not saying it'd be all players, but sometimes when the majority are, you know, have a set mindset, it makes it very hard to try and rally the troops. As T said, I honestly believe this is a great wake-up call for them coming into the final series. We know that unfortunately, they have been a little bit unlucky when it's coming to those grand finals as such. So for me, this is what they need going into this final series to really give them basically a foot up the backside and say, guys, switch on, show us what you're actually, what everything that you've got and what we've seen most of the time this season, and let's finish this season strong. You know, they really need to make sure that they take the next couple of games by the throat and really dominate this competition so people fear them going into the finals.
And that's right. And last week against Western United, I went to the game and they looked unstoppable. They were brilliant. And, you know, you'd think going into a Wellington game that if they played like that, you know, they'll beat anyone. But, yeah, look, they are young too. So, you know, stepping up against any opposition comes with experience as well, and that's a really good learning curve for the group, I think. But, yeah, definitely a wake-up call at this point. I think it's a timely one, and better now than later for Sydney.
They're missing Teresa in the midfield. That's what it is.
They're good without me now. No worries.
We can maybe see the boots back on in sky blue or another team's colour potentially. Who knows? Teresa Polias. But yeah, certainly a turning point. And the race for finals this year, it came down to the wire last year, but this year it's really heating up, and a massive game for the Melbourne Victory and their hopes to stay in the four, because they're really the only side that can drop out at this stage.
Balls to Ayres, tees up Zeus. Zeus! Paige Zeus with a rocket!
They got a massive win last night against the Melbourne City. Could that be a win, Teresa Polias, that secures them finals?
Yeah, look, you know, coming up against City, that was always going to be a tough ask for Victory, and I don't think they've been consistent this season. They've had some good games and some very, very poor ones where you really question whether they'll get to finals. But you know what? Beating a team like City at this point in the competition really would be a huge boost for victory at such great timing. And this is classic victory of the last few seasons.
They, I was going to say that, yeah.
When they need to. They know that too. They know that about themselves. So this isn't unfamiliar territory. They're not panicking because they know they can switch it on when they can. And they definitely did that, you know, regardless of losing big players, Chidiak, Elise Kellenlight, you know, those that have come in have stepped up, and like Paige Zoas, fantastic effort yesterday, and yeah, really timely win for them. And look, it certainly to me seems like they will solidify that fourth spot.
Very much so. My biggest thing that I took from the game, like you look at these two teams, and my question for you guys, what actually wins, aggression or technical? So if we look at both teams, you've got Melbourne City, they've always been a very technical side, particularly the last couple of seasons under the Vidasiches. So you've got that, and then you've got Jeff, and Jeff is that passionate coach. Like you look, we had two yellow cards in the first 10 minutes purely because he was blowing up for the yellow card for, I think it was Zimmerman off the top of my head. And I actually agree wholeheartedly with Jeff. I thought the referee kind of let the game, she was trying to set a precedence way too early. But in saying that, what's your take? Do you believe in this, such a game like this, particularly a derby, the aggression won over a very technical team? Because if we look at the fouls, it was 7-19. So victory fouled them 19 times in the end. Do you think in the end that's what really took it to them?
If a coach like Jeff's arcing up, then something's up, isn't it? But look, in a derby, it's a whole different ball game. You know, it's a real leveler, that kind of game. So you need to match the other team's aggression. And if you don't, you won't win a derby. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And I think, you know, Jeff knows exactly the position victory we're in, and he would have really pushed for that in that game. And he certainly got it. Whether they were, you know, whether the foul count was a bit sort of wrong decisions by the referee, we can argue that all day. But given that it was so so big compared to little, I guess, yeah, I think they came in more aggressively, and that won victory the game.
No, I'd agree. I think in derbies, sometimes tactics can go out the window a little bit. I feel like with Melbourne City, they love to play that classic City football group brand football, and it is, they have a very clear identity, and it's why I personally love watching them play, because you can see tactics in action happening, which isn't always the case with some sides. So I think they sometimes commit a little bit too much to a ethos or a philosophy where perhaps they don't have the players who can execute it. I know they love playing out the back. That's really what they want to do. And sometimes it's bit them on the ass a little bit at times where they've given away possession poorly. Sally James has given it away, whether it's the centre backs giving it away, and they've been made to pay for it. And that didn't necessarily happen in this game, but I feel like in a derby, that aggression has to be paramount. We've seen it.
And you see it all around the world in derbies, don't you? It's not just here. It's everywhere. It's in Spain, in England. You have to bring that aggression. You really do.
You've got to be angry because you're there playing for a club. It's, you know, it's the heart and soul of why you're there. And if you're not, if that's not why you're there, then you're playing for probably the wrong club, realistically. But it was great. It was a great battle between two teams. I mean, we saw a lot of shots. Melbourne City just weren't clinical enough. For me, watching them, it was that final decision-making. So shooting from poor angles, or it was the final pass. You know, Casey Dumont, she's you know, a brick wall there. But her job was made predominantly easy for her yesterday because the front third just aren't connecting.
Respect to her as well for wearing the cap in the game as well. Never easy, I'm sure. But one thing that came out of this as well for me, or at least Riley, actually, let's ask you this. You know, you've played in this derby before. This is you've played for Melbourne City, you've played against Melbourne Victory. How unique is that of a derby from a player's perspective?
In what context? Just the derby itself, or
That derby. What's the go going into it? How would it have been addressed from a Melbourne City standpoint?
From a Melbourne City standard, obviously, I had it with PK, and then I've had it with Rado. And they were polar opposites to each other. PK was very much like passionate. It was almost like war. It essentially was. It was like, you go out there, if you, you know, if you break someone's leg winning it and you're winning it for the team, then good, you've done your job. And that comes from that very English Premier League aspect. And that's what I love and thrive on. And then with Radio, it was very much like effort and you need to stick to the plan. And there wasn't quite that flexibility. And that's what we see with Melbourne City. As you said, we have this ethos, this brand. And look, the girls still played beautifully. It was just that they didn't take their chances. And Melbourne Victory did. I mean, you look, Zimmerman hit the inside of the post. I think it was like 18 minutes as well into the game. It could have been 3-0 down going into that half. And I believe, I haven't watched the slow-mo replay, you've got the likes of, you know, Amy Jackson took a shot early on and it's hit potentially Wilkinson's arm. So there was a penalty call there that was waved down. But for me, playing in some of these derbies, it's more passion. You have to play on emotion rather than what is the plan for the game. Yes, you'll find the weaknesses and you're going to play there, but ultimately everyone has their own individual battles and you need to support each other as a team. And whoever does that the best and whoever turns up on the day will win.
Just quickly as well, what did you guys think of the penalty decision against Emma Chapman on that? You thought it was a penalty, the shot that was blocked?
So unfortunately, like, you watch the replay and look, it's a really hard one to call, but the referees made the right call. One, the arm is from an unnatural position away from the body, up in the air. It's actually hit her. It didn't hit her on the shoulder blade. It's hit her in the arm. It's up above her head. It's a tough one. She's obviously turned, but you can actually jam your arm down next to your body. I love Cheka, and it's a really, really tough one. It was her 50th game for City as well, and it's a derby. So she'll take it hard, and I know people are going to say it's a penalty. Some are going to agree, some are going to disagree. That's the joys of football. But for me, it was a stock standard penalty, and Melina Ayres stepped up. She was confident. She slotted at home. But that's my take on things.
Yeah, at first I thought it wasn't, and given her reaction, it was definitely unintentional. But the fact that, yeah, the arm's away from the body, I mean, that's the rule, isn't it? But initially I did think it was quite a harsh call. But, yeah, that's, you know, the simple law of the game, and, yeah, you couldn't really deny it, could you?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat on that one. Initially thinking it was a little bit harsh, but on retrospect, when you see it in slow motion and from a tight angle, it certainly changes the way you think about it. Melbourne Victory getting the win in that one, a huge win for them, but perhaps a side with an even bigger win on the weekend, Adelaide United.
Adelaide, long ball in. Where's it at? And Wentz has got a goal! Her first start in over a month! And just like that, Adelaide are in front for the first time in this game.
Triumphant over Perth Glory, a side that were in form, making a charge for the finals. They still can. But Adelaide United were on a 9-game winless run. I mean, they were unable to field a full bench due to injuries. Went down by a goal. I mean, what? Talk about resilience, Teresa Pelias. How big from them?
Look, obviously a huge win for Adelaide. They've had a tough season. I think they've perform well below expectations, and I don't know what's going on there, whether it's internal stuff or just things haven't happened the way they've wanted to. We don't know, but yeah, that was a much needed win. I don't think they're in finals contention at this point, which is really disappointing because the squad they have is really, really good, and I had tipped them to finish up the top somewhere at the start of the season. And, yeah, it just really hasn't gone the way they've planned this season. But, very, very good win, pretty much ending, I think, Perth's hopes as well, on the weekend. So, unfortunate for Perth. But, yeah, look, and this is what happens with a longer season now. Teams find form later in the season. So next season will be even longer, with an additional couple rounds, Adelaide would still be in contention. So, yeah, really interesting stuff from them. But, yeah, unfortunate the way their season's gone.
Yeah, I agree. So when we did the preview for
I was going to say this.
Yeah, when we did the preview for the dub, I actually tipped Adelaide to be basically in the top two. I had really high hopes looking at their squad. Yeah. and just their performance last year. And it's been so underwhelming and really disheartening for what I've witnessed. And as you said, whether there's, you know, it hasn't clicked, whether there's internal things going on that we're not privy to, which, you know, unless players are going to come forward, or for me, it was a relief. It was almost a sigh of relief them getting these points because I just felt like they deserved something. Like they'd played Canberra the other week, they'd come back slightly and then it blew out. So it was great to see them go down again, but get the comeback. And it was, you know, Warts made a difference as well. You know, she's had a very unusual season. We're not quite sure what's going on there. So for her to get a goal I hope she gets a lot of confidence with it. But I feel like it's very much put a stop to Perth's run coming into the finals, unfortunately, because they've had another cracking season.
I completely agree. I guess one more question that comes up a talking point that comes out of this game, Perth and Adelaide, I mean, what next for them? Mm-hmm. I mean, for both of them, it seems finals is a little bit too far away at this point in the season. And I guess they're starting to look towards next year. But what does that have in store, Teresa?
Yeah, that's a great question, Cam. And we don't know what, you know, coaches and management have sat down and spoken about. Is it a long-term plan? You know, I'd like to think that coaches do think in the long term, and obviously this season didn't go according to plan for Adelaide. Does that mean Adrian Stenter's job's on the line? I'd hope not. I think he's done enough in the past to show that he deserves that gig. And, you know, whether they have internal issues or not, you'd hope that, you know, he'd be spending that off season rectifying all of those issues, and whatever it was this season that went wrong needs to be righted. And, you know, as for Alex Sopaka, same thing, you know, same. I think you'd hope he'd have a long-term plan. And, you know, Perth were okay this season. They did a lot of good.
Had a lot of injuries as well.
Yeah, they did. That there were circumstances that, once again, that didn't go their way, and they always seem to, you know, cop the short end of the stick. And but there are a lot of positives there, and like I said, I think, you know, if he's got a long term plan, I think he deserves to get another shot. You know, if things don't go right again next season, different story. But I don't think it's been that terrible that, you know, you need coaching changes.
Yeah, they're definitely the biggest thing for these two clubs is stability. And as you were saying, Teresa, the coaches haven't done anything that warrants a sacking or a letting go at this point in time. Like the win for Adelaide, that would have helped Adrian Stenter for the remainder of the season. But based off the season he had last year, what he's, you know, had to endure this year, the same over in Perth, I feel they both warrant the opportunity to, from a long-term perspective, to give next season a go. And look, if things aren't working, you know, almost halfway through, okay, it's fine to obviously look towards a replacement, which is normal in any competition across the world. But these girls, I feel like, particularly at Perth, they've got a really great foundation there and they're building. They just need to get some bigger international signings, I feel, and just solidify a few positions so that they can use the caliber that they currently have and the youth that are progressing and fostering so that they can bloom a little bit better with age and experience around them.
One thing I would say with Adelaide as well, I certainly would not be surprised if you see Fiona Wirtz at another club come the end of the season. I know there's lots of discussion
Mariners, Campbell.
Yay! Could be picked up. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about some potential unrest behind the scenes with the players and stuff like that. Whether that's true or not, to what extent that is and to what extent she's involved, I'm not entirely sure. But who knows what the off-season holds and what next season it has for Adelaide and Perth.
Played forward to Shea Connors. Shea Connors got opportunity. She's gone in.
What a goal. What an absolute finish. This is a beautiful left-footed strike.
As for Brisbane, well, what a massive game for them. We talked about two coaches that have perhaps secured their positions next season. This win might go a long way to securing Gareth McPherson a renewal on his contract. It is his second year at the helm. Riley, what a massive win for Brisbane. You're on the commentary for this game.
Yeah, look, it was a huge win. Going into that game, I'd had a chat with obviously the cohort around us, and for me, I honestly thought Western United, after the beating they'd taken by Sydney FC and their performance that week, I thought, comebacks on, we're probably looking around a 2-0 win here. Like that was actually my thought. And then as the game, they started quite aggressive for about 5 minutes, and you could see the cracks with Western United. They had, you know, they like to bomb on their left and right fullback almost simultaneously, and it leaves those holes in the back line out wide. And that was capitalized by the likes of Sian Fryer. You had, you know, Larissa Crummer would peel out there at times. And then I think the biggest thing that Gareth has done that's done exceptionally well is putting Shay Connors at centre striker. She's got pace. She then is taking the goal on completely front on, so she's got a lot to work with. And coming up, look, I used to love as a striker, playing as a top striker, and coming up against slow defenders or defenders who are just not going to be able to keep up with me. And for me, I thought Cummings had a shocking game as a defender at the back line for Western United, and that was evident. Shay, you know, she scored a brace. The first goal was an absolute screamer of a goal with her left foot. You know, a beautiful ball through from Katrina Gorrie over the top. Cummings just didn't step in front. She wasn't physical enough, and Shay's perfectly slotted at home. Hilary Beale obviously did very well in goals for Western United. Again, she's had a stellar season. But for Shay, you could see how much, particularly after the second goal, how much that game and those goals and that win meant for her. Because I know, obviously, she had the passing of an ex-teammate. So our thoughts are with her and her teammate's family at this time. But it was like watching a Brisbane we used to know. And it was, I don't know, I can't even give you a word right now. It was refreshing to see, because we know what they can do and they just haven't amounted to that this season. But it's fantastic to see, as Teresa had said, with a longer season, we have teams now coming into, you know, a good run. They're coming into everything they've been working for since pre-season.
You're right, Riley, and I think we need to view Brisbane with a new lens now. I think I've always viewed them as the one of the big three or four, because when, you know, at the beginning of the, as it was W League, you know, for a large period of time, they were, you know, up there with the big guns. But I think Brisbane have gone through a massive, massive rebuild, and you really have to, you know, view them from that lens. And given that, I think they've improved a lot this season from last. You know, if you look at their stats and results from last season, they've done a lot better this season. And in the end, that's, you know, more experience under the belts for their young players as well. So in the long run, I think Brisbane will be okay. You know, what they showed on the weekend was really promising. And what you want is them to retain their players. You know, that you want them to retain the likes of Katrina Gorrie, Larissa Crummer, and, you know, and build a core around them, which is they have the potential to do. So I'm not concerned for Brisbane's future. Obviously, a disappointing season, them not, you know, making finals, and you know, I don't think they've performed as they would have liked to as consistently. But yeah, really promising for their future, I think. And then you got Western United on the other hand, and we were waiting for this part of the season to see what would eventuate with them. And I think the word is pressure. I think, you know, a new team, I think the inexperience is starting to show, and you know, heading in towards finals, there's pressure now. And we're seeing them maybe start to crack a little bit, because normally they'd bounce back after a thrashing, and the cracks are certainly starting to show, in my opinion.
And we always said this might happen. We talked about it at the start of the season when they're on their brilliant run. What was it? I think 7, 8, 9 games, yeah. Perfect, yeah, in a row. And we always said, you know, because they'd been an NPL side that had been playing with each other for the off season and gelled perfectly, that it'd just continue and other sides would then start to gel and catch up to them. Riley, are we now seeing that? Are we now seeing what we talked about at the start of the season, perhaps?
Look, I do agree. It's the pressure, and it's the longer season and going, okay, now is when we've got the big games and you need to start really putting on a show to put the fear in teams coming into the final series. And what you saw out there was just a team that are slightly low on confidence at the moment. I felt like there was no real idea around or game plan on the pitch, you know, and you could tell like Hannah Keane was frustrated out of her skin. She was playing top striker. Both her wingers were having to stay very, very wide, and they were very heavy down the left-hand side with Angie Beard and TJ Vlanich. And she was having to drop back into the midfield and even deeper sometimes trying to pick up a ball. And I can say as someone who used to do that, and my husband used to, you know, give me a massive talking to after a game because he's like, you're leaving your team high and dry. But when you starve a striker from the ball, that's their job. Their job is to get the ball and score. So they didn't meet any expectation to what was expected. I was very much lost a little bit when I was watching them. I was like, they did look a little bit lost out there. They didn't, you know, rise to the occasion, the dedication and the effort wasn't really there. Yes, there were some beautiful passages of play from individual players, but they didn't seem like a team. There was a lot of bits and pieces. Yes, they lost like TJ, which based off the hit that she got a concussion. So whether we're going to see her in the next game or not. But I feel that they just need a week to kind of refresh and settle and review, okay, what's happened here. But definitely you can see that the inexperience is there as a team going into big games.
There's always trouble, isn't there, when your striker's having to drop so deep to pick up the ball. I always find that a team's in strife when their striker feels like they have to do that, and that's not Hannah Keane's game. Her game is up top, you know, putting defenders under pressure and winning ball and, you know, getting second ball and finishing those, and that's what she's been so great at. So that spells trouble for me, for Western United, and they've always seemed to have that desire, and if it wasn't there, Riley, that's, you know, not them, and perhaps they need a bit of a reset now, just to go back, maybe change a few things and come out with a bit refreshed and re-energized.
And the one thing we really noticed when we were, you know, analysing the game, and as you said, like when a striker's dropping, it spells trouble, and I love that version of that. She had two clear-cut opportunities, and one, it was her decision-making. So, you know, she's turned Lind in the back line, she's gone through, and instead of taking it forward like a couple more paces and just slotting it past the keeper, like we know she's a clinical striker, she tried to just from, I wouldn't say it was too far out, but she was off balance and you could tell she was feeling the pressure a little bit. So she's trying to chip the keeper but didn't get it right, and the same, you know, not long later on. So I feel like
trying to do too much, yeah.
Yeah, she was taking a lot on her shoulders, and I know that after that game she would have probably thought the loss may have been attributed to her missing those opportunities. And look, yeah, you take it on board as a striker because that's your job, to score the goals. But I think we also need to remind her she's had a very successful season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she just needs to take a step back and just focus on her game and not stress too much about everything else around her.
And there's that golden boot race, which is probably in the back of her mind, and rightly so. And, you know, I think strikers have the hardest job, to be honest. The pressure is there all the time. And if you're not scoring, you know, I can only imagine the anxiety you'd have heading into every game. So, yes, certainly I think that's on her mind as well. And, look, I hope Western turn it around again, because they've been so exciting and it's been great having a new team come in and rock the boat the way that they have.
Yeah, currently second in the Golden Boot race is Hannah Keane, trailing Canberra United's Michelle Heyman, who did get a draw on the weekend against Western Sydney Wanderers, 1-1.
Sweeps it in towards Heyman. Milivojevic brings it down beautifully and goes for the effort. Milivojevic! Vesna Milivojevic with a stunner for Canberra United.
Vesna Milivojevic on the scoreline for Canberra, who's having a great season as well, just quietly. T, what did you make of this game?
Look, I got a soft spot for Canberra this season. I think, you know, there's been games where I feel like they're top two sides in the league. And then the next week they'll just bomb it all and just not turn up. And I really want them to challenge victory for a final spot. So this weekend's going to be really, really interesting. But yeah, I really rate Canberra, and I just think, you know, a bit of those couple games, sort of rough spots, they have sort of killed them in the end. But yeah, they've had so many bright stars, and Vesna Milivojevic has been brilliant. She has been such a great pickup for them. And had I had some extra draft spots there, I definitely would have. She would definitely have been next on the list for the Mariners, Campbell. I think she's great, and she'd do a great job in any team, to be honest. But yeah, I hope. Look, I don't know. I'm not ruling Canberra out of finals contention just yet. I think I think they've got one more chance, really, one more result to show that they deserve to be there.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think they've just dropped points when they really needed to capitalize. They were golden opportunities to really continue the pressure or take a spot. And they've had a very up and down season, like the 2 week period where they conceded, you know, the 10 goals, that what was deemed the darkest days in Canberra's history, but they've bounced back from that. But it was a game where they really should have capitalized. But then at the same time, you've got, you know, Western Sydney Wanderers with Kat Smith, who said they have come in leaps and bounds this season, the girls as a cohort. And I do agree, like watching games at the start of the season, what I was seeing, you know, I was concerned. You know, I did not feel that the caliber was there. But I am really pleased to be wrong about that, because what I'm seeing, if they're staying under Kat Smith and moving into next season and they get some more senior players on board, I feel that they're going to be contesting further up the table than what they have so far. But Canberra, you know, I think they've got one more shot. But I feel, pending how results go this weekend, in the games, I feel it may actually be Melbourne City who's under the pressure rather than Melbourne Victory.
Ooh, a bit of a change, a bit of a shake-up in the top four in the final few weeks. Well, I mean, the Canberra versus Victory game this weekend is truly, truly must-watch. I mean, it's arguably the biggest game of the season so far, I think it's fair to say. We'll keep it quick on that one because we got some quick-fire questions to round out the podcast today. Quick yes or no answer, one player answer. I'll let you know what response we're going to get. But the first one, I want a yes or no. We'll start with you, Riley. And I'm sorry for this one, Teresa Polias. Sydney FC will choke for a third consecutive season.
No.
There's a big smile on Teresa's face. Teresa, your answer to that?
It's a no from me.
It's a no from Teresa. Fair enough, fair enough. Canberra United will claw back against Victory this weekend and make finals. Teresa Polias, yes or no?
Yes.
I like it. I like it. Riley?
No.
No. I like it. Changing the script there. I like it. What are your guys' reasonings behind those two? We'll start with you, Riley.
I just feel like Melbourne Victory have kind of sent a warning this weekend. They've got a bit of a sniff. And I feel like they're going to ride that wave in particular. They just have this knack of they know how to grind out wins. And we've seen it, as the stats have shown in the last decade. It's those teams at the bottom end of pushing into finals that actually progress really well going into the final series.
I know they didn't get the result this weekend, but Wanderers have been a good defensive side all season. They haven't conceded. They haven't had a blowout loss.
Yeah.
So although they started the season not being able to score, they defended really well. They've been organized the whole season. So I'm going to put that down to Canberra's draw. And I just think they've got too much quality not to miss out on finals, basically.
We'll see how it goes this weekend. Wanting a one player answer here, we'll start with you, T. Who will win the Golden Boot?
I think Michelle Heyman. She's in just crazy goal scoring form. She just got a hat trick recently. So yeah, I'm going with Michelle Heyman.
Yeah, Michelle Heyman here. She's a striker who has her mojo at the moment, and that's almost impossible to stop.
She's on fire currently leading, but Hannah Keane hot on her tail. Riley Dobson, who will win the Julie Dolan medal?
Hilary Beale. I think it is completely, I don't think there is anyone else in this competition who has been as influential as what she has been.
Currently the player of the month as well. She's had quite a few to her name. Teresa Polias, who's your Julie Dolan medalist for this year?
I'm going to say Rhianna Polisena. And my reasons being, look, I would love to pick a Sydney player, but in every single game there's been so many good performers, and that means points get shared. So if you look at City's games, I think in every single game you could say that Rihanna Polisena Mini has been a standout, and that's what wins you those medals, because that's where the points come in. So that's my pick.
Yeah, she's been absolutely sensational this year, one of the best players in the league, and it'll shape up for a really interesting awards night come season's end. Riley Dobson, now, who will win the Wooden Spoon? Wellington Phoenix going a long way to making that competition very tight.
Newcastle.
There you go.
Look, Wellington is still a game behind. They've got to verse each other. You know, everyone's going to have their pitchforks out to kill me for saying that. And that's okay. I just think that Wellington have really come in leaps and bounds. And, you know, I would love it if Jets surprised me and the rest of the competition as well.
Yeah, I think Wellington have been the better team on form, certainly recently. I think that's fair to say. I mean, they beat Sydney FC, so it's not outlandish at all. Teresa Polias, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I have to back Riley up there, because I think what you see is what's happening. And at the moment, although Wellington are there at the moment, they are in fantastic form. And, you know, in truth, they've turned their season around a bit. So I don't see that with the Jets. I'm not seeing a change in form. And with Wellington, I am. So that's what I see. And I think the Jets will finish at the bottom.
I'd have to agree with both of you on there, back you up. I think that's a fair shout, given the form of the two sides and what we're seeing, not only in results, but also in performances as well. Riley Dobson, Teresa Polias, thank you so much for joining me today on the official Liberty A-Leagues podcast.
Thanks, Cam. Thanks,
T. Thanks, Cam.
Cheers, guys. There's so much content coming your way. Make sure to head to keepup.com.au to never miss a headline. A-League's All Access is centred around an Arsenal cult hero and fan favourite, and now Newcastle Jets player Carl Jenkinson. He had a little visit from a certain Premier League champion as well via FaceTime, so I'm super excited to see the full episode of that one. A new episode of the A-League Men's Podcast is out now, and a new episode of the Players Pod will be out this week. We're also bringing you the best audio bites from Dubzone to lead you into the weekend. It was Ish Ferguson on the couch last week, and it's Grace Gill who'll be on this weekend, joining the usual squad. So make sure you stay tuned for that one. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's all from the official Liberty A-League Podcast. I've been your host, Campbell Johnson, and as always, enjoy the football. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. Yeah, we look nice, future looking nice. We don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future. Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice. We don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future.